Okay, now for the fun. It's always nice taking a look at someone else's life. So, first of all, let's introduce ourselves for those who don't know any of our persons here. Yes. My name is Dave Ramachaswamy. And what do I do? Well, I go around the world doing these kind of things about three times a year on every continent, except Africa. Every other continent except there. And my personal mission in life is to meet with people everywhere and try to understand what makes them tick, what's going wrong, what's going right, and how to make a real solution to the problem of desire. All right, and your name?
My name is
Nathan. Nathan, is it Nathan?
Oh, it's Carlos.
Carlos?
Keith.
Karen.
Karen?
Chantal.
Chantal?
Corinne.
Corinne. Okay.
Georgia.
Okay.
Regan.
All right. So these are the lucky participants in tonight's. These others, don't worry about them. They've been to this before, and, you know, just to make it a workable group, right? Because we have limited time, you know, we just keep it amongst those who are haven't been to this exercise before. Okay. Now, I want you to read what you have, please, and then offer some. Let's see how much time we have. Five persons. Well, first read what you have. That'll be part one. Okay, Nathan, you can start.
I feel that sometimes, most times, I try to say what I think is right, is the right response, instead of what is my real response. Happens especially when I feel nervous and think I have to impress someone. I question my motives in other areas as well, such as why I do things. Am I really interested in going to see a film, or am I just trying to turn my face from reality, maybe from a chore that needs urgent attention, or from a situation back at home that I don't want to face? I get a whole ostrich syndrome where I put my face in the dirt and pretend nothing else exists. I live in unreal fantasies and dreams. They help me to soar to places in my imagination.
They help me to?
Soar to places in my imagination.
Soar to places in my... Soar. Yeah.
Rarely do I even think how absurd they are, how unreal they are, or think about their cause and effect.
Very, very good. Very, very good meaning. Very, not very wonderfully expressed. Such kind of expression will help a lot of people. Yeah. So, yeah, well, actually, yeah, I do the same thing. Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say it, but because we have the confidentiality, you don't know who wrote that. It's easy to, you know, think about it in a non-threatening way. Okay, is anything else?
Not so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carlos.
Yeah, sorry for not writing a list, but a year ago, I was living inauthentically. I was working a job I despised and was under constant pressure and stress. Every day I had to pretend to be someone I was not, particularly. It's not that hard to read. It was hard to pretend that I was content with my job when I was really miserable. Since then, I have completely changed my lifestyle. Before, I was working in a lightly paid and respected profession. Now I live...
Lightly paid?
Yeah.
Lightly paid.
Highly paid. Now I live in a van, and I believe that I no longer have any pretensions. However, I still am unhappy and unfulfilled, so I feel I lack purpose and meaning. I am ready to be true and authentic to myself, but I don't know how to or what my true self is.
Very wonderful statements. Now let me say at this point then, one reason why we read these aloud is because generally each person, before you hear everybody else's, thinks, I'm the only one who feels like this. No one feels this way except me. I'm alone and feeling like this, alone in the emptiness. But then you hear these others and you say, well, hey, sounds like me. Or sometimes you might not have written such a thing on your own paper, but you think, well, if I was really honest, I probably would have written that same thing. But I'm glad somebody else did it. Okay, I'm sorry. Keith.
Apart from having to do odd rubbish jobs for money, I feel I'm living authentically.
You know,
authentically.
Oh, okay.
But the jobs haven't been that bad. Just I wish I never had to work ever, or any responsibilities. I'm living from the core, as I don't do anything I don't like. I'm travelling at the moment. When I was at home, I didn't do any job I didn't want to. If I didn't like it, I would leave straight away. I don't think I have to lie to myself or people about anything, even in any relationships I've been in.
It's interesting, even in any relationships. One person, not here, told me an interesting story. This guy about, the late 30s, and he didn't have a good job. He just did some odds and ends to make money. And he went over to his friend's house, and there at his friend's house was like a 40-year-old lady lawyer, really high-powered. She was making more in one day than he would make in, 2 weeks. So, she just just took a look at him, and the next day she kind of found his phone number and came to see him and said, I had a thing for you, And so the first thing this man said was like, hey, what's someone like you interested in me? You're a high-powered lawyer. She's from Sydney. High-powered Sydney lawyer. I'm just I'm mowing lawns and making odds and ends and, to get a little money. And she said, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about the background. Attraction has nothing to do with that. So he was just kind of like, wow. And he had to pinch himself to make sure he was awake. Like, wow. I mean, this is amazing, maybe I'm much better than I thought, she was, I think we should, check each other out. I think we should spend some time with each other, and, I really like you. You just got something special about you. So the guy got over his feelings of apprehension or bewilderment or mystery, like, what are you doing interested in me? And so, she would take him out, because he didn't have any money. She'd take him out to cafes, restaurants. He was living the high life, and, after a couple nights at restaurants, and then, she said, I've rented one of those cottages, and what is it, right over the hill, Featherston, Greytown, they have like these old cottages of people from Wellington rent for a night or for a weekend, She kind of rented one of these cottages for the night, and maybe we'd like to go out there. She had the whole place decked out, candlelight dinner and everything, and then music playing on the home entertainment system, and they danced together, for a while, and just the two of them, and then. So, it went on like that, real passionate for like a month. So then, he was just like, wow, lucky me. I mean, you know, I'm just an ordinary guy with, you know, no real job and just making odds and ends meet, and now I'm with this high powered lawyer, and she's like, she's taking me, like she's like, you know, she's wow. I mean, I really am something. You know, he was like, you know, yeah. And she was telling him all the time, don't worry about my background. Don't worry about my job. That doesn't count. It's just the feelings of the heart. And yeah, I hear you. Yeah. So, one morning, you know, he woke up with her one morning, and she just kind of sat up in bed and said, you know, guess what? Yeah. I'll be going back to Sydney today. And another thing, you're not the one. So he told me that he kind of just, you know, gave an artificial answer. Oh, you're going to Sydney, huh? I'm not the one, huh? Anyway, you know, what's the big deal? We had a good time together, and, you know, that's the way it is, you know? Cool, you know? Inside, though, his heart was screaming, ah! But he didn't say that on the outside. The outside, he's, sure, you know? Yeah, I can handle life in the fast lane, you know? Yeah, we had a great time together, you know? Yeah, I might see you somewhere someday, you know, whatever, you know? Hey, you know? He wasn't feeling like that inside. Inside, he was shattered because he had become emotionally attached. So she just kind of got up, put on her clothes, and this would make a great movie, it's a true story. Got up, put on her clothes, and, you know, hey, okay. See you around, like, you know, yeah, see you around, who knows, you know, he waved at her from the bed, like, yeah, as soon as the door clicked, ah, you know, as soon as she slinked me out the door, ah, she screwed me up, she's, totally, you know, devastated.
Typical lawyer.
Huh?
Typical lawyer.
So, you know. What would you say about that kind of relationship? Anyway, what would you say? It was based on inauthenticity, or he got suckered, or, you know, he should have known better, or, hey, that's the way it is. He got what he wanted, she got what she wanted. What would you say?
He should have said something.
He should have said something at the end?
Yeah, maybe she was...
Oh, things really get tricky these days.
She wanted to see how much he felt about her, and so she said, well, I'm going back to Sydney. And if he said, I don't want you to go back to Sydney, well, she might have said, well, why don't you come with me?
No, I never thought about that. Is that the way it works these days?
Well, if she said she was going back to Sydney and he said, oh, fine, she would have gone hanging out with him. She obviously doesn't care about me if she didn't say anything, you know, like you would like to go, or, you know, oh, stop, you know, I thought we had something really good, you know. That's what I would have thought.
But she also, remember, she also told him, and by the way,
you're not the one.
Right. After laying it on thick for 1 month, you know, don't worry about our backgrounds, I mean, it's just the hearts, you know, I just have a thing for you, and all of a sudden, you know.
I would have been, like, at least wanting to know why she pretended all that for a month.
Well, what good does it do? She's on her way out the door, you know.
That sounds like one of the worst things you could do to anyone, man.
Yes. Awful.
Disgusting, you know.
You know, after a night of hot passion, you know, and then, you know, he wakes up and, you know, by the way, you're not the one. But you really say that it could be just been impossible, it could be a test that he should have, like...
Well, no, but it's worth trying to ask the same thing to find out, especially if you really liked her that much, you know?
Baby, please don't go.
A lot of people don't think someone's the one after a month anyway, do they? It might take them longer, you know? Mm. If someone's persistent, they might.
Really? Is that the way it works?
Well, I think, personally, I think that you can't fall in love with somebody. I mean, it takes, your love can be a gradual thing, and if he, if she, unless she, I mean, why would she lie all that time for a month, you know, for somebody that's just a fling or one night stand, you know?
No, Jan, I don't know. Why would she lie for a month? You tell me. I don't know. Maybe she was bored.
She obviously likes him a bit. She spent all that time with him, but.
Sure, this is complicated, isn't it? I mean, that complicatedly distressed. This is really complicated. It's like you need to. It's like, you know.
I don't actually think that's the point, though. Because if you really did like someone, then how could you do that to them? Obviously, she was just using him, and she felt nothing for him whatsoever. And she had planned it the whole time.
Yeah. And well, you should have asked. She should have at least asked. Maybe she had some reason. Maybe she had.
No, she didn't have any reason at all. It was all planned, obviously.
Yeah, but why would somebody do that for no reason?
Because they just want to
be nice people.
Well, the thing is, if he'd known the sort of score from the beginning, he'd probably still be gone with her anyway. If he was like, oh, what? Wow, a lawyer, you know?
People just want to feel like they're more than what they are. They don't have.
No, he hesitated. He's right. He hesitated at first. But then she convinced him, he said, don't worry that you're a social nobody, you know, I like you, there's something about you that... And he was like, he couldn't believe it at first, like, hey, it's real, I mean, yeah.
So what, she made promises to him for the future, then, or...
Future? He never said they discussed the future, they were just happening together, you know, at an intense pace, you know?
But it was only for, what, a month, 4 weeks,
yeah. But it was sizzling for a month, you know?
Yeah.
So, maybe she just wanted a, you know... She knew she was going back to Sydney all the time, and she just wanted a fling, you know?
Yeah. Well, for example, if I had that guy done that, I'd think they were married.
If you had...
If I'd heard a guy in the same situation... If it was a guy who was a lawyer, mm-hmm. and was like, with the sort of having a fling with a woman mm-hmm. in the country, and they're saying they're going back to Sydney, I'd automatically assume... that the guy was married.
Oh, I see.
And was like saying all this stuff just to get someone.
Yeah.
While they were away. Mm. You know, it's a normal sort of age old story, isn't it? Mm. Like, we'll say whatever you want to get them to convince you, and then when they've got what they wanted, then they go. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just for married people, though.
Huh?
Yeah. It's not just for someone that's like in a relationship with someone else.
I think it's interesting that you assume that it has to be a married person that would do that. I mean, there may be men out there that would do it for some other reason.
Yeah, I would have thought though that the reason why they wouldn't, if it was such a great relationship, to do that, can't be many other reasons to just like break somebody off if you're really getting on well, if it's really true, like.
But she didn't. She knew that the person who was in this story originally did that.
She may have been married,
but she may have also had other reasons.
Yeah.
People don't need reasons either.
They just do it for...
That's a good point, yeah.
To just be a complete bitch.
No,
I know. She was bitter and twisted from she wanted to get one over on the guy.
You're coming up with all them contemporary reasons. You're doing pretty good. You gotta strike at somebody, huh?
Yeah, maybe she's like, well, they do this for you, so why should I have any respect for them?
If somebody chewed me up, so I'll chew you up.
Yeah, that kind of response. I just think it's really strange that somebody would do that. Like, I don't think, I definitely ask why.
Maybe he was devastated, like, you know, he didn't have a clue before that, you know? Not that they were, you know, I mean, he didn't know where the relationship was leading to, but you know how it is these days. You don't worry about that for the first month or so. You just let it happen, you know? You know, and everything was just, you know, all systems go, and it was sizzling, and, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I'm, without a word of warning before, I'm going back to Sydney, and you're not the one.
That's so sad, really. So. Phone her up like 10 years, 5 years later, why did you do that?
but interesting that people, you start talking about the men will do that, you know, married men, but this is the lady. So you're saying that the lady is now taking on these kind of hustler roles. Is that
lawyer, you know. Mm,
right.
Yeah.
Love him and leave him, or yeah. Lust him and leave him. And yeah, by the way, you know, I guess to me it sounds like she was saying, by the way, you know, that's why we had our fun. but see you around. You know, you played your part. You know, you got what you know. You got something. I got something. You know.
Horrible.
All the day's work. You know. He just felt I'll tell you how he felt. He felt that he had just been used to occupy her time.
Yeah.
She was leaving the country anyway, and she's figured, hey, you know, I got nothing to lose. I'll, you know, pick up a guy and work him out, and then take off for Australia. You know? is that a current? I mean, I'm asking. I don't know. Is that a current like female modus operandi? You know?
Not
that
I heard of. No.
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 Your friend's looking like,
no.
No?
No.
What do you say, Georgie? Is that happening, starting to happen these days?
I'm not too sure. I'm not really associated with people that would do something like that.
Does it happen in the movies? Is it a movie theme these days?
Definitely.
Well, man, that's where they get it from.
It's just women playing emotional mind games.
Yeah. That's where the women get it from these days, in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it so, I've been told that, I don't go to the movies, but isn't it so that so many movies now have the women in the aggressive role that the man used to be in?
Mm-hmm. The power.
Right. You know, she grabs the guy. You know? So, I guess that's where they get it from. So, I'm bringing this up in the context of authenticity. I mean, was he being for real? I don't think he was being for real. I don't think he was being authentic. He got swept off his feet and figured, hey, I'll play this, you know, for as far as it goes, you know, because especially I'm getting some, you know, gratifying my senses, and so, hey, we'll just be with it now and worry about it later. But unbeknownst to him, he was swept off his feet. He got attached to all the, all the exchanges, he got attached. And he didn't realize it. It just hit him when she left. Like, it was my good time, you know. And obviously, you know, I mean, if a woman bolsters a man's ego, oh boy, it's unforgettable. You know, doesn't matter, you don't have any money. I mean, there's something about you. So, you know, he was just lost in the clouds for a month, you know. So, I mean, I don't think he was being completely sincere. He was just thinking, hey, you know. Yeah, I'll play along with this, you know, yeah. But he didn't think it was going to end the way it did. He didn't, in other words, probably with his male ego, he never expected that she would outdo him, you know. And in the process, he became a bit attached to her, but never dreamed that, you know, he just swallowed it. Yeah, that's what it was. He swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. So he was in control, and in the end, he found out that, you know, she did a job on him. Really, he told me. She just, yeah, woke up in the morning and just told him like that. Well, going back to Sydney, said, by the way, you're not the one. And so, of course, as you rightfully said, he was inauthentic in his response. Yeah, no problem. You know, that's the way it is these days. You know, hey, you know, life in the fast lane. Hey, you know, yeah, we had some good times. Yeah. Sydney, go on. Yeah, whatever, you know. I guess he was playing the role like in the movies or something. Yeah, no problem, you know. Great being with you for a while, and no hard feelings. And as soon as you walk out the door, he said, as soon as the door shut, he goes, So there's a classic example of inauthenticity going on both sides. So you mentioned, what was that last thing you read, Keith? Was it?
Yeah. I don't think I have to lie to myself or people about anything, even in any relationships I've been in.
So would that mean that, okay, it's Friday night, I don't have anyone, so I want someone for tonight, you know, I'm tired of being lonely on a Friday night. So when you don't lie in relationships, you just tell, hey, look, you know, let's just be together for tonight, and I can't promise you any more than that. Or I think usually what people do is they get so drunk that they don't have to worry about rationality. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What do? You tell them directly? No, I'm saying generally, not personally.
It doesn't come up. It doesn't even come into the conversation.
You just keep drinking and drinking, and what happens, happens?
Yeah.
So then you don't really feel inauthentic because you're so wasted. Then it doesn't, you know.
You don't have to be wasted. It's just like if you were going to spend some time with someone, if you felt like on Friday night or whatever, it doesn't really sort of come up like if you're going to like see them for like years or what's going on or anything like that. It's just something that happens, isn't it? You know.
So both persons know this is just a fling, and don't even bring the question up, or
don't really think about it, do you, at the time?
I think also, like, it depends. Like, if that's the way you're going to be, then you probably wouldn't know at that stage anyway. Like, if you just meet somebody or whatever, and if you were the kind of person that wanted just a fling,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted just a fling, but maybe you actually liked the person, maybe you would see them again, or...
Or not.
Or not.
So it's like throwing the dice at the casino.
It's very hard to, it's hard to sort of know when you first meet somebody whether that you're going to want to spend more time with them or not, because you have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
You can't like sort of make promises. Now I'm going to be with you for the next month, and you know, because maybe you don't know. You know, maybe at that stage you think, oh, I'd like to get to know them a bit more, and you tell them, I'd like to see you again, or
the next morning,
and then see what they say back. Or
that's quite naive, though, because you're building your relationship on the foundation that the person you've met has gone to town for one motive, and that's just to satisfy their senses.
Yeah, but I personally don't go out and have one night stands, but presumably the people who go out and want to have a one night stand thing,
it's factual.
Okay, well, yeah.
Nice.
If you're the kind of person that goes out on a Friday night and has a fling or something and like goes to bed with them, then you can't really expect much the next day from somebody. But you might try if you wanted to see them again.
Yeah.
But presumably if both people were like whatever, all drunk or whatever, and they just had a fling, and then the next day they whatever, see you later and all that kind of thing. But I mean, I'm just saying generally when you meet somebody, if you like them or not, you kind of maybe, you know, you might sort of meet them once and think, wow, I really like them, or I'm really attracted to them, I really think they're cute, but I'd like to see them again, and then you do, and then you maybe the next time you meet them you think, oh my God, why did they say that? That's awful, I'd never be with someone like that, you know? So, you know, or you might have seen them for 3 weeks. You know, it's like any relationship, it's like it takes time to develop, and you can't, from the outset of a relationship, sit down and go, I think I'll be seeing them for the next year.
So my question is, how are you authentic then? The way you're presenting it, there's always an element of, utility.
No, it isn't. It's like you're being authentic to the way you feel about that person at that time.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, that was the same thing with the lawyer, the female lawyer from Sydney. She was being authentic based on that idea.
But the thing is, like, I mean, that's why I was asking you whether she made any promises to him, because maybe she said to him, I'm in this country or wherever she was for this amount of time, I'd really like to see you, and don't worry about it.
And he had no idea she was leaving to Australia. He had no idea.
Yeah, well, then that's a mean thing to do, yeah? But normally in a relationship where people aren't moving around, you know, you would just go with the flow kind of thing, and you can't, you'd be authentic to yourself because you'd be saying, I want to see you again, yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah, she was like that, you know? Hey, we're just letting this relationship.
She had in the back of her mind that she knew she was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, she knew, if she was that much of a horrible person, she knew that she was going to leave in a month, and she was deliberately doing that, but we don't know what her motive was.
Maybe she just decided, hey, I've had enough of this, I'm taking off.
Yeah, but that's her motives, but, you know, she had obviously made some other things going.
All right.
Generally speaking, when you're dating somebody and you are being true to yourself, you can't. It's not. I don't think it's utilizing somebody by saying you don't know, because you maybe genuinely do not know when that relationship will, whether it will continue or not.
So then, what are you trying to get out of it while you're in this stage of uncertainty?
Well,
presumably, when you first meet your wife or your husband, you don't know from the day that you met them, or very few people, I would have thought, know from the very first day of meeting them that they're going to get married to them. So, you know, so you
experiment.
Not necessarily experiment, but you go with your feelings and you say, I really like you, I'd like to see you again. And then that's how the relationship grows and develops. And either it comes to an end when both of you or one of you says, I don't want this relationship anymore, or it continues indefinitely. But presumably, if you're being true to yourself, you just go, you can't say in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to feel like this about you, because maybe you don't know. And in that way, you are being true to yourself, because things change, and that's the whole thing about life. This life's always changing, and you can't hold on to everything forever.
But one thing that Nathan said was, but in the meantime, while you're in your stage of uncertainty, you're trying to satisfy your senses. You don't talk about that.
But that's the physical side of the relationship.
I don't see that so many people are celibate these days. So that must be an important factor.
Yeah, of course it's important. But I mean, isn't that what a relationship is, also emotional and physical?
But I like his language there. That, you know, let's face it. He's saying, you just want to satisfy your senses. Like, you use the person to satisfy your senses. Now, my question is,
if it's mutual, if that person wants to be with you, and you have been open with what you want from the relationship, and you say to the person, I really like you, and the other person says, that's not using somebody. That's sending
somebody. Wait.
Why is that using somebody? You're saying that a relationship is using each other.
Why? You're using for the same purpose. And then you'll never be satisfied.
So all relationships are just about using people.
Wait.
How do I assume? Is one night of authentic relationship better than 20 years of inauthentic marriage? Is that
one night of authentic? What's an authentic?
I'm just talking about how relationships develop. Yeah, I'm not talking about one night stands. I'm talking about generally how human relationships develop. Yeah, like if I met somebody and I wanted to spend some time with them, how about using them? You know, if they want to be. If they want to be with me?
Okay, let me answer the question. Nathan, calm down. Allow me to moderate this.
Using has got a very negative connotation.
Well, I can kind of...
My interaction with you, is that me using you? Or just me talking to you?
No. He's talking about something else. He's talking about the person's individual need to satisfy their lusts. And therefore they have to have somebody, you know, to do that. That's what he's talking about. So he's kind of like, you know, looking at the naked reality. Look, it's a Friday night and you got your lusts, you know, your senses are hungry, you know, so you want to be with somebody. Now, it may turn out to be permanent, it may not, but meanwhile, your lusts are being, you know, dealt with. That's what he's pointing at. But you don't seem to pick up on his presentation of inauthenticity. It seems that... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just stirring the conversation here. It seems that you're defending the need to satisfy your senses as being authentic, and he doesn't accept that. That's the argument here. He's calling the urge to satisfy your senses, he says, using someone. And he calls it inauthentic, but it seems that you're saying it's not inauthentic, it's just, you know, it's a whole all part of it, you know, while you're trying to figure out whether you want to be with the person, you satisfy his senses, he satisfies yours, as long as it's mutual, and, you know, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I just wanted to summarize the discussion here.
So wait, authenticity, where's the problem? If in that one night you are completely honest with that person, and if you get married to somebody and you're with that person for 20 years and you're inauthentic for like 20 years,
okay.
Where do you draw the line?
So rapidly we're getting to the point of what is an authentic lifestyle, is using someone to satisfy your senses and allowing them to use you to satisfy their senses, is that authentic? This is what we're actually getting to. So we'll get to this after hearing everybody else. This is a hot issue here. So Nathan's taken one side and you've already taken the other. Okay, who's next? You finished, Dusky? Okay, Karen? What's the matter, Julie?
I'm not having the will, courage to detach myself from temporary sense gratification.
You built that one, Nathan. I'm not having the courage to detach myself from temporary sense gratification. You don't like that one, huh?
Caring about my appearance so people will be interested, attracted to me, seeking a relationship to cover the emptiness of another failed relationship.
Very nice. We have some very wonderful answers here. Seeking, read that again.
Seeking a relationship to cover the emptiness of another failed relationship. Mm-hmm. Wanting people to think I'm strong, independent, worldly, charmistic, determined, motivated, artistic. Trying to become a different person to please another. Trying to use people for sense gratification. Using people to make me think on the things I want to be. How am I living from the core of my being? Seeking solitude, avoiding contact with influences that materially entrap me. Seeking understanding of why I suffer. Reflecting on things I have done to people that I regret, feel ashamed. Desiring to simplify, detach, not to use people for selfish desires.
Okay, and Chantel? Okay.
Five ways from your shell. One is dress sense. Two, work.
What's number one?
Dress sense.
Dress sense. Oh, dressing in an artificial way, is that? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Five ways from the core of my being.
Okay, is there any other besides that? Okay, just one. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And work. Dress sense and work.
Mm-hmm.
Five ways from the core of my being. One, simple living. Two, basic material possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Three, eliminating the people that I know that I thought were friends. Four, 100% vegetarian.
Interesting. Yes, many people, just like Nathan was on the attack about using some of the percentage medication as being inauthentic, many people feel that unnecessarily causing pain to animals is inauthentic. You don't have to do that to eat. You can eat things that don't have the same level of nervous response and consciousness as animals do. You can eat plants, grains, you know, like that, and you don't have such a murderous effect on the planet. If you want to see that, how that's so, just try to visit the freezing works and see how the animals are treated. Then decide if you'll ever eat meat again. It's easy to go to the supermarket, you know, go to the food store and get it all neatly packaged. But to actually see a live animal killed and butchered, so a lot of people feel that it's being authentic to eat. Your eating habits are a sign of your authenticity. I mean, just think about it. If you go to a meat shop, you know, and you see the signs on the window, you know, shoulder chop, ribs, or rump steak. If you really think about what it is, it's kind of, it's definitely a nice thought. All right. Your name, I'm sorry?
Corinne.
Okay.
Inauthentic. Being a drummer for a band, clubbing on a weekend, working in the hospitality industry, liking some friends I don't like, tolerating them, thinking of myself as of someone above some people, too prideful. And then authentic, love for wisdom, love for knowledge, love for art, love for religion, love for music, perseverance in knowing oneself.
Oh, very nice. Very beautiful answers we're getting tonight. I can see why we took 3 times as long to write these as other nights. Okay, Georgie?
5 ways from the core. Don't drink, smoke, drugs, etc. Live alone without influence. No TV, radio, etc. at home. A lot of time reading and hiking alone to isolated places to think. Drinking lavishly from the beauty of nature. From the shelf. Work that I hate that I once found creative and love. Western lifestyle and rather live somewhere different. Internet network. Angry, isolated, distant, still rebelling from provincial assertions about the future, unfriendly and hostile towards opposite gender in general. The 9-to-5 routine, the being remotely civil in order to keep the job.
Very wonderful answers again. This is the best, I think. These are the best answers you've heard since you've been coming.
Yeah.
They're really deep.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right, and I'm sorry, your name again?
Reagan,
yes, Reagan. Okay.
Living in a shell. Sometimes I feel I can't say what I want to because it might hurt someone or disrupt play. It's easier to go along with the flow, see what happens, or maybe forget about how I feel. If I can, it will go away. Sometimes I feel that I don't want to go to university, but I'm not sure if it is because it might be hard work or it is because I'm not sure that I'm doing it for me or for my fellows and society pressures. I'm afraid of judgment, which stops me from doing what I want. But then I'm not sure what I really want to do half the time. But I like to not think about what others think about what I choose to do with my life. Living from the core. I enjoy where I'm heading in my work, caring for people, holistic, free from intoxication, and looking after my body.
Okay. Wow, these are quite impressive answers. Really nice hearing others without anyone risking their confidentiality, isn't it? Really nice. Okay, so now in our final moments, we'll have the battle about is it inauthentic to desire to gratify your senses and utilize someone in that way? And of course, allow them to utilize you? Or is that, you know, that's just the way it is? Hey, you know, you got your needs, they got their needs, you know, just let something happen and fulfill the needs. Ultimately, what's at the bottom of this question is, will this physicality satisfy me if I'm not a physical entity? That's ultimately at the bottom of this. If I'm not simply a physical entity, then it is being inauthentic to think I can satisfy myself through physicality. In other words, if I understand that I am a spiritual entity, non-material entity in my core, what am I doing trying to please myself by satisfying the body when I'm not the body? And why should I cheat somebody by presenting myself as going to satisfy them when they're not the body? So how can I satisfy them physically? Therefore, if I'm really going to be genuine, if I'm going to be honest, I won't try to delude someone, or even myself. I won't delude myself into thinking there's going to be such a thing as lasting physical satisfaction. Then on the other hand, you have the person who thinks, well, hey, we are these bodies, or anyway, it doesn't really matter what we are. We got these bodies, so, you know, just be for real about it and do what you got to do. That's one side. The other side is, well, we're not these bodies. The body is just like an external garment, and so much misery and trouble comes in life when we think we are the body and act like that. So this is what's at the bottom of this clash, heated clash we have.
Does that mean that you should stick to eating pleasant foods and never try to satisfy your taste buds by eating things that are much more delicious? So you say the same as having your senses turned on by someone else. Perhaps just even a finger on your skin by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same?
Well, I have this, what do you call them here? It's called a skivvy, or what's this called? It's called
a
jersey. All right. Yeah. I have this jersey. Now, suppose I thought, well, yeah, if someone would just come along and massage my jersey, yeah, that would really make me feel good. Yeah, the jersey, yeah. That would sound kind of nuts, wouldn't it? Even though I'm, you know, it's my jersey. It's temporary, though. It's not going to last forever. But, you know, suppose somebody said, you know, wow, I just really want to, you know, just touch your jersey and, you know, get all sorts of nice feelings when I, you know, just need your jersey, you know, and like, you know. And then I can say, wow, yeah, that does make me feel good, you know. Well, that's pretty nuts. That's crazy. This jersey's not you. If they're going to really go for something, they should be grabbing onto your skin or something, you know, then we can understand that. But suppose that just like I'm not the jersey, I'm also not the skin, I'm not the body. Just like the jersey is covering me, similarly the body is covering me.
Do we not understand our experiences by our senses?
But who is the person, though, that's experiencing?
So, true, but how do we understand if we don't have the senses? If the senses are there primarily as part of your desires and not part of your soul, then how are our experiences understood if we don't have the desires? If we don't have the senses in the first place? If the senses don't belong to both the soul and the body?
Well, doesn't a dead body have senses?
So in that case, the soul gives the body the senses.
Hey! More precisely, if you're wanting to understand from the viewpoint of
the body,
if you want to understand from the viewpoint of the Vedic knowledge of ancient India, Krishna consciousness, from the soul comes consciousness, and it's consciousness that allows you to be aware of your sensory inputs. When the consciousness leaves the body still has senses, but they don't work. No one here pursues dead bodies. I've been to a morgue before in Taipei, in Taiwan. I told them at the morgue that I was a monk, and I, you know, and they accept in Taiwan that part of the practices of a monk is you should study dead bodies, so in that way you get detached from, you know, pleasures and pains in this world. So the morgue chief was taking me through the whole place. He took me to a room full of like 30 old men corpses, you know, guys in their 70s, 80s, you know, just stiff, you know, lying on the what do you call them, the wagons. And he said, he told me, look, I can understand this. These guys, you know, they were 75, this, that, the other. But he said, I want to show you something. And he took me to another room, and there on a wagon, a cart, was like this 22-year-old, very attractive girl, young woman. And next to her were like a 2 and a 3-year-old baby. Well, a baby, but a young child. And they're all dead. And you couldn't see any blemish on them or anything. He said, well, I can understand the old man, but I can't understand this. Why such a young woman and these young children? There was no blemish. They must have been in a gas leak, a propane leak in their flat or something like that, because there was no blemish on their body whatsoever to show any sign of auto accident or something. So I can't understand this. So there she was, you know. But no one's attracted now. Why? What's missing? What would you say is missing? Her senses are still there. Okay, so then, if it's true that there's something beyond the body that we really are, what are we worried about, you know, using someone for our sense gratification? It's inauthentic. It's ingenuine to treat someone as if they're the body. It's actually, you're insulting them. And you're also insulting yourself.
You're saying everyone should be like celibate to live authentically.
I didn't say that.
That's what it's implying.
No, wait, hold on, you're jumping to conclusions.
No, because you're saying that it's inauthentic to have a physical relationship with somebody.
Well, is it?
Right? So, okay. If you want to be authentic, you don't have...
Wait, one at a time, please. Right. Okay, let's see. I need... Who's got a jumper or something they're not wearing right? Anybody's got a jumper? Okay. All right. Okay, here's Tom. Okay, can we have Mary? Anybody got... Yes, okay. Give us Mary. All right, it's Friday night. Tom is hungry. Mary's hungry. You know, something's got to happen, you know. Maybe they're drinking, maybe not. You know, the night wears on, you know. They dance, you know, they go to a movie, and then ultimately, Tom and Mary, they interact. So... Okay. Morning comes. You know, and it. Okay. There was the one night, you know? Okay, so. This is yours, yeah. You get the point. You say, wait a minute, this is just, you know, somebody's outer covering. This is not the real thing.
Yeah, but that's a one-night stand for other things, you know? What about Tom and Mary, who've seen each other and known each other for many years, have a great deal of love and admiration for somebody, and then they decide to take their relationship to a physical level. Does that mean they're being inauthentic?
Are you the body or are you not? That's what you're really asking.
I think you get into dangerous territory when you try and separate the body from the soul.
What it happens at death?
If one is connected to the other in this life, okay, perhaps I don't know what happens after life or before. In this life, I have this body.
Yeah.
And this is my vehicle.
In this life,
for my soul.
In this life, I have this jersey.
Well, that's true, but you can take your jersey off. I can't take my body off.
Yes, you can.
Okay, but even if you call the body a shell and you have your soul inside,
yeah.
What is the harm? Why are you being inauthentic by
by experiencing life, by things that give you pleasure. That every, you know, it's all about life is about being human. Man's not an island. You can't be a person like this without any contact with anybody, irrespective of whether I'm in my body or outside my body. You know, it's an expression of you as a person. It might not be you, but it's not being an authentic to do what you feel. To show love to someone, or, you know, I think it needs to be separated out from maybe like one night stand kind of things, where that's like a fling, isn't it? That's a fling where, okay, that's using somebody. But when it's interaction with humans, and it's an expression, you know, okay, you can, there's different kinds of...
All right.
I mean, what is it based on? Is it based on an authentic relationship, or is it based on a physical thing?
Well, she's saying that,
That's a way, that's just a part of a relationship with another human being.
Well,
I feel.
I see here.
I could personally, if I was in love with somebody and I really, really thought they were so attractive and beautiful, and I could admire them from afar, but also I would like to be close to them too, and that doesn't mean that I'm not being true to my soul, it just means I would like to be physically close to that person because I love them, or whatever reason I have for that, you know? why is that being inauthentic?
I like the last part. Whatever reason I had.
Well, okay.
You know, you're being honest, I appreciate it. Okay, but listen, I'm saying the issue I'm getting at is that it's not a question of time, whether it's a one-night fling or a long-term relationship. It's not a question of, you know, do you really care for the person or not? I'm getting at something deep, and I'm leaving you to come, you know, to come to the conclusions in your own way. I'm getting at something much deeper. If, just like we're not this jersey, similarly we're not the body, then how can such affairs, such interactions, really satisfy us? Maybe it's just an illusion that we think we're being satisfied. You've all seen that film Matrix, right? Who hasn't seen Matrix? Everybody, you didn't see it, but you heard about it, probably everybody talked about it.
I've heard the name, but I can't remember what's the name.
All right, but you've seen Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Remember the guy, when he left the crew, and he went back to the agents, he compromised with the agents, and he was saying, when I sink my teeth into a steak, I know it's just the Matrix, I know it's not real, but I don't care, I just, you know, remember that?
Yeah.
I know, make me an actor, he was telling the agents, make me an actor, make me famous, I know it's not real, I know it's all computer generated, but just, you know. So, maybe that's what's going on, you know, we're just settling for an illusion.
Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But then, it's like, well, that the human condition is never going to be satisfied because you've got all those senses that you'll never be satisfied.
No, no, we're talking about the jersey. We're not talking about the real person, maybe. Maybe we should be adopting techniques of spiritual satisfaction. Why do we assume that if I'm denying the illusory physical expressions, that there's no satisfaction? Why do we say that? Maybe there are spiritual techniques of satisfaction. Ah. So when I took the two, you know, his jacket and your jacket, and I put them on the floor together, you know, everyone, oh, you know, how's that going to satisfy anybody? Because it's just, you know, the coverings. Similarly, the body is a covering, but under illusion, we surcharge the situation with false expectations. Maybe we have to find out spiritual techniques of reciprocation, spiritual techniques of expression. Maybe there's a whole realm we're missing out on. But because we're ignorant of these things, we think, well, look, you know, we got these bodies, even though we may not be the bodies, how else are you supposed to show love, you know? So that's all I want to leave you with. Just think, if you're not the body, if you're a spirit soul, and many people will say, I'm a spiritual being, then why struggle or endeavor in any way to satisfy the body which you're not? Just like we wouldn't endeavor to satisfy the jersey. Maybe there's another way of behaving, another way of acting, another way of being. A spiritual lifestyle with spiritual sense expression. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? All right. You just had your first lesson in Krishna consciousness. Congratulations. So, please think about these things. It's been a very deep and free-ranging discussion tonight. Thank you all for your participation. You can think about these things, please. All right. So now it's time for dinner. Thank you very much.
Thank you.